Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is pretty exciting. This is our first bracket rundown show of the 21-22 season. It's a show we're going to be recording pretty much every week from here on out. We record them normally on Thursday evenings as well. And it is Thursday, January 6th, a little after 9 p.m. as we record this. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined on my sides up here by John Tytel and David Griggs, or at least
I'm here. I'm
his
here.
chair.
I'm here.
Down below me, we've got Joby Fortson and David Dorman. And what we are going to be doing on the show is
Bracket.
a version
Bracket.
of what the selection committee does, but really not even in any format that they really do it. So I think maybe that's not even a good way to describe it. We've done this show in various different formats over the years. We're going to try something a little bit different even tonight. What we're going to be doing is building a seed list. That's a 1 through 68 list of the teams that we feel as of right now, as of games that have gone final by 9 p.m. on January 6th. Anything that went final later than that this evening will not be considered unless it goes final as we record and we decide to make an adjustment because of it. But we will be building a 1 through 68 seed list that will be how we are ranking the 68 teams that we feel are in the tournament right now. After the show is over, we're going to bracket that up. If you look below us, you just
Down there?
cheated, but there is a
Yeah.
bracket down there of what the bracket would actually look like.
Yeah, but hey, the bracket doesn't give you the analysis. It just gives you the end result.
And we will have all that analysis. But what we're going to do as a starting point for our analysis here is we're going to start with Joby, your computer metric, the number one rated computer metric in terms
Wait.
of predicting the committee in the world, the
Joby's.
JNG.
What about the Griggs NG?
You see, David's been stuck in the puppet bunker all those years, and so he doesn't fully know the JNG. No, and guys, it is a great honor to launch, so to speak, the seed list as a baseline. The JNG, as Chad mentioned, is the number one rated computer modeling for the tournament. In other words, it is better than any other computer metric at actually guessing who's in the field and the seed list associated with it, according to Bracket, and that is verified by Bracket Matrix. There are human bracketologists, John Tytel being a perfect example, that will be more accurate because no numbers are perfect. You know inherently, hey, that team should be lower or higher in some obvious cases. And so, it's good to mix art and science. This is the science of it, so to speak. The highlights I want to mention on the JNG before we get started, because there will be some teams I strongly disagree with where they are seated, but often that is due to at this stage. The JNG is a snapshot of how teams are right now. So if you say, let's take a team is undefeated, and we'll hit that probably in lines one or two. Team's undefeated. The JNG saying, hey, they had an undefeated season. It views it as if they're 35 and 0. Well, a 35 and 0 team from a major conference is going to be on the one line. Okay. Plain and simple. At this stage, we can say, that team is almost destined for a loss via the eye test. They're not the dominant, they're not the dominant team that everybody thinks they are. They're not Gonzaga from last year, et cetera, et cetera. And so we'll get to that. Another component is that also applies to, hey, we don't have a ton of development on the schedule. So teams might not have had the opportunity for big wins, or they haven't played enough games to where, hey, they got one big win. So that means that's kind of skewing the averages among everything. So we'll get to that, those examples. But without further ado, I'll hand it off to Chad.
Okay, what I'm going to do is pull up our screen share right now and show you the screen we're going to be using for this and for a lot of the future bracket rundown shows as well. It is a list of 1 through 68 in groups of four, which would represent each of the seed numbers, and the seed numbers are there as well. There's a little counter here in the bottom left corner, shows how many at-large bids are remaining, 36. When that gets done to zero, down to zero, we will be done. We will be showing the rest of the single bid leagues down to the bottom, the 13 through 16 seeds before we're done here, but we're not going to really be discussing those very much. As I pull up each team, and let's start with the number one team overall. I don't think it's any Any surprise, Baylor? It's the number one team in the J&G right now, at least. We also have a few other ratings here, just quickly. The first rating is the net rating, the main NCAA metric. OAR rating is a rating that we kind of developed here. It's an average of all of the various metrics that are out there, at least all the major ones. SOS is your strength of schedule. POM is your KenPom rating. J&G is obviously is the J&G rating that we're going to be going off of as our baseline for tonight.
Nailed the first one, Joby. Well done.
Well, here is the first four according to the J&G. After Baylor, we've got Auburn, USC, and Kansas. And according to the J&G, these are your one seeds right now. Now, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to throw it out for a little debate here, see who we feel should be coming down off of this, or do we like them at all? Tytel, let me start with you. Do you think that the J&G has the one seeds right as of right now?
Most, but not all. Even though I do love undefeated teams, I can't look at USC's metrics and put them above a team like Duke. So I would veto USC and recommend Duke.
You would take down USC and recommend Duke. Dorman, what do you think about that? And these other three teams as well, Baylor, Auburn, Kansas.
I'm right with John. I had Baylor, Auburn, Kansas, and my fourth number one seed was also Duke. So I'm right in line with John.
Well, let's go to team sheets here real quick here and to take a look at Auburn and USC. But Griggs, you had a comment?
Well, let's take a look at Auburn first.
Okay. Actually, Auburn is up there on the right already. That's why it's giving me an error. So let's go to put USC here on the left.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Auburn is right there.
Okay. Well, when I look at Auburn, and you know, there's some good stuff there. The neutral floor win against Loyola Chicago. They haven't beaten a protected seed away from home or a protected seed, I don't think, at all. Whereas to me, and again, we all have our own criteria. What do you look for? When I look for somebody on the one line, you need to have that win against a protected seed away from home. They may be good enough to get it between now and the end. They'll certainly have opportunities. But a team like Gonzaga has done that. I just can't have Auburn all the way up on the one line. Without having checked that box.
So you're going to a two-loss team.
Yes, a two-loss team with wins away from home against protected seeds, two of them. Well, one of them.
Joby, you are the creator of the J&G. I think we've got a little bit of consensus already that USC is not really one seed. Duke should be there. Right. But what about taking Auburn out in favor of a Gonzaga?
I like the Auburn win, and I'll use what the J&G did. Auburn was about a two to three seed, but then the win against LSU happened. LSU is a protected seed. They are, especially right. We'll see if they get more than one loss, but that was an undefeated team walking in. The net, forget the J&G, the net is fifth, so that says a lot. So I think Auburn still is very credible. Gonzaga, then J&G underrates Gonzaga at this point in time because they've had some cancellations, so the overall record ratio isn't tremendous. It will get there. You presume that they will get there. So I'm not necessarily opposed to Gonzaga being in over Auburn, but I definitely see why Auburn is there. USC is there because they're undefeated, period. Right. I'm in concurrence with everybody else on that.
My other problem with Gonzaga is my problem I had with them heading into the season. Yes, those three wins are very nice, but look at the other teams they beat. Look at all these sub 200, sub 250 wins. I complained about the fact that they scheduled all this non-conference garbage at home, and I think that kind of weighs down metrics a little bit, and I think that's kind of weighs down the strength of schedule at 126, and that's a reason to keep them down also.
Okay, and you make a fair point, Chad, but how about somebody else like Arizona or Michigan State that also checks the box and that's lifted a little more weight than Gonzaga has? That's my thing with Auburn is that they just don't have the protected seed win away from home. And if you're a one seed, you better have that.
Okay, I think that the consensus, though, was to leave – Auburn on the one line.
Well, the consensus is wrong, but okay.
And I'm fine if we're getting picky. Drop Auburn below Kansas and Duke would seem to have less of an argument, from folks.
I think it's a fair, as kind of the arbiter of making the final decision here, I think that's fair to make Auburn the last of the one seeds. There is, obviously, depending on where you fall on that one seed line, it affects who your matchups are and the like. It'll be a much it'd be a different, more difficult task as the fourth one seed than as the best one seed. Also less favorable. You'd probably end up going out west as the fourth one seed for your site, for your regional site. But let's keep rolling along here. And Dorman, we did drop USC off the one line. I'll leave them there on the top of the two line and go to the next three teams beyond these in the JNG would be Arizona, UCLA, and Michigan State. Notably, the JNG has Gonzaga, as you can see at the bottom right corner there, down on nine as a three seed. So a couple of questions is, you know, is the Pac-12 line here correct? or should we be Pac-12 and Gonzaga make even more West Coast, or what should we be doing?
I have Gonzaga in right now on the two line ahead of USC. The thing going forward here for the Pac-12 is I don't see any schools besides those three we just listed there at 5, 6, and 7 overall losing to anyone else in the conference. There's going to be very few losses for those three teams. The Pac-12 is let's be honest, bad at the bottom and the middle. It's just not good. There's not much there. So these teams are going to continue to win almost all these games. But having said that, I don't have USC on the two line. I have Gonzaga on the two line with Arizona, UCLA, and Michigan State.
Tytel.
Very good. Very good, Dorman.
Tytel, do you agree with him?
It's a pretty solid group from Joby here. But, I mean, the Zags did beat UCLA by 20 at a neutral site. So I don't – and because UCLA got bit by the COVID bug and hasn't played in a month until today – while they're a good team and arguably worthy of two seed line, I don't see how they can be ahead of a team that beat them by 20.
So you'd have would you leave USC up here then and take UCLA down in favor of the Zags?
Yes.
Okay. So Griggs, let me let. I know you want the Zags up here too, and I think there's a consensus they belong here.
I like all those teams better than USC, everyone that we've mentioned. I kind of agree with Dorman. I've got another one here that, and I'm not even sure where they are in the JNG, but I love Wisconsin all the way up. They're my last two, but I have them very, very high on my seed list. I think they have one of the most impressive wins of the year, if not the most impressive. Certainly it's in the top two. They've played a killer schedule. They've won away from home. I love this Whiskey team.
I'll pull the Wisconsin, who has a home loss to Providence on their resume as well. Up on the left there versus UCLA, who only loss was to Gonzaga on the right there. And you're saying that you like Wisconsin better than UCLA.
I do. I think the neutral floor win against Houston and certainly the win at Purdue is better than a singular home win. Now, and again, I don't want to, that win against Villanova was an excellent win, even though it was at home. But and I realize that you're just sort of splitting hairs at this point. I don't want to dismiss the Providence loss entirely, but Whiskey was not at full strength when that game was played. But again, you can't just ignore it. It is there. If there's a reason not to put them up there, then it would be the home loss to Providence. But God, they won at Purdue. I mean,
Providence is competing for. Yeah, I know that, you know, after last night, we looked the other way a little bit, but Providence has had a very good season today.
Yeah.
Note, Wisconsin is playing as we record this. They're actually up early in the second half, actually midway through the second half on Iowa. But, Joby, you've got the JNG. Your JNG actually has Wisconsin down as the five seed. So I think they're going to end up higher than that when we're done here. But do you agree
with Griggs? They're the top five seed. Before there were some metric changes today, there were four. So, I mean – I don't really have, I think I would have Wisconsin. I mean, it's a reasonable argument all the way through. I think I would have Wisconsin behind UCLA and you know that USC might not be undefeated when people are watching this tomorrow morning, because I could see Cal out of nowhere on the road, you know, on a road trip upset. Yeah, I really could. And so, but until that happens, I think I'd stick with USC and UCLA ahead of Wisconsin, but it's an extremely reasonable argument.
Yeah, I mean, the undefeated sounds really good, but I think that, you know, if we've got to do a tiebreaker here, I think we'll put UCLA and USC here on the two in the beginning of the three line. I think this is a very
undefeated with a win over a tournament team that we'll see tonight in San Diego State.
Yeah, I pulled that USC. So, I did have that USC profile briefly here. They beat San Diego State. They really haven't beaten anybody else of any
note.
And it may not happen until February if that's not when they play Arizona or UCLA again. Till, so who knows? But let's leave USC there at the top of the three line for now. I do have Wisconsin and the others under consideration, but let's want to quickly throw up the other three seeds according to the JNG, who would have been Ohio State, Iowa State, and LSU. Tytel, let me go back to you here. Wisconsin, I think, is a very strong argument, especially after Ohio State lost tonight, that they belong here over Ohio State. But I'll let you make whatever cases you think you should be made.
I like USC. I liked Ohio State 2 hours ago. Now I think we have to drop them. But since the Big Ten is so good, I'd like to give a little Purdue love. I know that it's not their off to the best start, but they have two losses all year by a total of 7 points. And they've beaten like several teams who we're going to see on this board. So I would boiler it up here.
You boiler it up. Would you leave Wisconsin off the three line still then?
I think I might put Wisconsin ahead of Iowa State only based on this past week. But I mean, Wisconsin gets credit for beating Purdue. And I forget Purdue's other loss. What is the name of that gym they lost in Jersey again?
That is called the Rack. It's really called the Rack. And there's no other possible name for it. You wanted to mention another name. This is what I got for you. Griggs, I know you want Wisconsin in here. Wisconsin and Purdue both over Iowa State, Ohio State. Does that make sense to have USC, LSU with the two of them?
It makes sense, but I have Villanova in over LSU, and part of that is recency biased, if I'm being entirely honest. But when you look at the resume, while there's more losses on it than what you typically see with these other teams, they were all two insanely good teams. And I just love the way that they're suddenly playing.
Yeah,
and Chad, I might add, when you calculate very initially Ohio State's loss into their resume, into the JNG live, they actually fall to 16th. So the last four seed.
Okay. So, and I got Villanova's resume there. They beat Tennessee. They won at Seton Hall. They beat Xavier. They do have four losses, but they're, and the Crane loss is not, it's kind of lousy.
Yeah. That one's kind of, yeah. But everybody else is, you know, solidly protected seed.
Well, Dorman, how about the idea of knocking three of the JNG teams out here and going USC, Wisconsin, Purdue, Villanova?
I like that because I'm with you, because I don't have LSU on the three seed. I really like the win, but it was at home against Kentucky the other night. So I have LSU on the four line, and I would put the Wisconsin, Purdue, Villanova group right there on three.
Okay, so
I'm a big Iowa State guy here, though.
They're good.
Iowa State, you're going to really blame them for losing to Baylor. And then they have really good wins along with that. I mean, they're basically, they make USC's resume. You know, if we're saying losing to the number one seed, I think we all would assume USC would lose to them. So then compare Iowa State and USC. I like Iowa State at that point.
We'd be dropping a team that started out on the one line down yet another line, but let me ask you this, Tytel. Iowa State, USC, I think there's a strong argument. Maybe USC goes down another line and we leave Iowa State here.
I think it's pretty obvious, but you asked Tytel. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I understand that if your only loss is to the best team in the nation by five, that counts for a lot. But an undefeated team whose strength of schedule is noticeably better than Iowa State's, I would not have a problem with either of these teams, but I would lean towards the Pac-12 bias and the undefeated team.
Okay. And that is fair. They did play a lot of good mid-level teams there, the tier two, tier three versus tier four garbage.
Yeah, Iowa State went to the pastry cart, but they also went to the meat market. Xavier, neutral floor, double digits, blasted Iowa, held on to beat Texas Tech, won at Creighton. That's hard to do.
They held on to beat a Texas Tech team that had seven players. They had seven players active last night. The the Texas Tech.
Okay.
And Texas Tech about to win it.
I don't think Texas Tech has any. Yeah, they don't have any wins. So,
an Iowa State versus Villanova argument. They both went to Creighton. Villanova lost. Iowa State won.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point too. I like the Iowa State team, but I like
okay. them. So if we go ahead and we leave this as is, we have Ohio State, Iowa State, and LSU all dropping down to the four line. They would be joined there by the next team up on the JNG, and now I'm starting to get a little bit confused here, but I think I've got them. It would actually be Colorado State. Undefeated team here. Joby, it's the JNG. They've got the undefeated team. You mentioned that bias towards undefeated teams. Here we go, a Mountain West team making a protected seed.
Well, I mean, yeah, they don't have USC San Diego State win, but maybe one day they'll have it, you know. And they did take down Creighton. They took down St. Mary's. So they've done some work. It's just their overall, you know, strength of schedule is what's dragging them down to this point. But
a lot better than Iowa State.
Colorado State, those two undefeated, they're there. They're not probably at this level, but they are most certainly in the discussion in the near future.
Dorman, is there anybody else that we should have been considering here for a protected seat other than these 16 teams we have up here?
The only debate I had over that last spot on the four line was Colorado State versus Houston. That was I went back and forth for a while on that. I ended up with Colorado State, but it's tight with Houston.
I have to mention this team because they – like earlier I was gushing over – Whiskey's win at Purdue, Alabama. I mean, win against Gonzaga in Seattle. No one left has anything close to that.
Yeah, well, let's quickly talk, Tytel, first about the Houston team here. Do you have to consider the fact that they have lost so many players recently that are not going to be coming back this season?
Certainly. So the way it's going to be affected is there's two things. One, like their win-loss record, I assume, is going to go down. They took care of South Florida handily the other night, but I don't think they can just beat up on teams like at SMU and Memphis in the months ahead without that. But my question for Joby is, how does the JNG handle a team that loses because it's missing two of its best players?
Yeah, there is a ratio that comes into play. It's not that over the years it hasn't really had a huge impact. We saw it with Oregon, if you remember, you know, when they had players coming back, players leaving. It's almost like because you're going to see the things come out in the wash as you approach the tournament. And in particular, Houston, I'm not panicked about. Show me a tournament team that Houston has beaten in that group. If that remains,
I'm with Joby on that.
If that remains the case, Houston's just going to be where they are, and I don't think they're a protected seed at this point. As a matter of fact, I actually think if anything, J&G's bumping them up a little bit. Yeah. Now, what's funny is you go to bracket matrix, and Houston's like a 3 seed or some ridiculous because everybody's thinking about the Final Four last year, and the eye test where I think eye test they're. Pre-injury, they were pretty good. But let's see how it plays out. And that's how the JNG will react. That's how bracketologists like John Tytel will react.
Yeah, and if I could just really briefly comment, we did mention this Alabama team as well. My problem, Griggs, with Alabama is I know their three losses are all tier one losses, but they are not top half of the bracket losses. Davidson, Iona, Memphis. I mean, Iona maybe could say they're a top half of the bracket team, but that is the closest. But it's but it's three losses to teams that are very questionable. What would not necessarily be in the field, or maybe are not in the field at all as an at large.
I think at least two of them are in the field, and then when you look at their
conference
wins,
as conference leaders right now, though.
Davidson and Iona, I think they're inside the bubble. But
it'll be close.
And one of the reasons Davidson and Iona are inside the bubble is because they have that quality.
Because they beat Alabama.
But Alabama does have other wins that then bring up Davidson and Iona because Davidson and Iona have amazing records.
I mean,
and then they have a big win with their amazing records.
Yeah, but Alabama has beaten really, really high caliber teams, whereas Houston hasn't. And it's not just them, it's Providence, it's UConn. I'm just not that big on Houston, especially after they've lost like 28 points per game with injuries. Well, I mean, that's a lot of scoring.
Let's leave this four line where it is here. We'll definitely Houston and Alabama would be the two of the next teams up here on the J&G, along with Providence, who actually would have been above Houston and Alabama. And Xavier would finish off the five line, though. Let me go to Dorman. Let me go to you here first on these four teams. Do you like this group here now on the five line, given what we did on the top four?
I have Illinois ahead of Xavier. I have Connecticut ahead of Xavier. So I do not have Xavier on the five line. I'm good with Houston, Alabama, and Providence. The Providence loss the other night in Marquette doesn't really bother me. I've seen them play. They're strong. They're tough. I think Ed Cooley's group is really good this year. But I have Illinois or Connecticut ahead of this Xavier team.
Yeah, Ty, what do you think? Is Xavier over? Does J&G have Xavier overrated at number 20 overall?
They've got a lot of good wins. Ohio State, Vautech, Marquette. I think there's merit to putting them here. I'm just telling you, after watching Providence collapse the other night, I really would prefer a team like Tennessee who's got a win over my Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, Griggs, that's an interesting call here. What about Tennessee, who's up there on the right? There's Xavier on the left, who did beat Ohio State. Ohio State can't win on the road. They proved that tonight in Indiana.
Okay, yeah. I don't think having Xavier here is outrageous, but what I will say is literally every one you've mentioned, including Tennessee, I have ahead of Xavier. I mean, Xavier's on my next line down, I think, but of course they're better. Like, I like Tennessee more than
you. You want to defend the J&G at all here?
Providence has four wins against tournament level teams. That's a lot.
I have Providence at Xavier. UConn.
I'll defend Providence. I'm not here to defend Xavier. They are where they are. And I think a team like Tennessee actually is extremely interesting when you start talking about the win against Arizona is tremendous. And so, I'm kind of partial to that Tennessee argument.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I got to defend Providence here also. Griggs, you just trumpeted Wisconsin as being like the number one team in the nation a few minutes ago. They won at Wisconsin. I mean,
you don't have to defend them to me. I had them higher than this. Wouldn't call on me. But yeah, I think they belong even higher than this place. Of course, they shouldn't be any lower than that.
All right, so should Tennessee be the team that replaces Xavier here?
Them or UConn or Illinois? Or Alabama. Oh, Alabama's there. Well, I like UConn a little more than Tennessee.
Yeah, the Auburn win. We just talked about how awesome Auburn is, and their only blemish is a neutral court to Connecticut. That's pretty.
Yeah.
That says something to me, about the Huskies.
Ty, you're the one that brought up Tennessee. Do you think they're right that UConn might be above Tennessee?
No veto.
All right.
I do like the Tennessee team. Can you go back to that, Chad, a sec? Tennessee team. And the SEC is very strong, so they will get their chances. But after the Arizona win, North Carolina, Colorado is down here. Ole Miss, probably bottom of the SEC. The only really solid win so far is the Arizona to me. And they have lost versus Texas Tech and – that's why I had Tennessee on the six instead of the five. But at this point, we're cutting ears.
I can't believe how much you are disrespected Presbyterian right now. All right, let's go ahead. We'll put UConn in here as this team here. We can just see where they would have come in at 25 in the J&G, which is actually been a 7 seed. So UConn would not have even been on the next line, according to the J&G. The next four teams up on the J&G. Would in fact be on the sixth line here. We would have been Xavier, so let's just drop them onto the next line here, along with Tennessee, Texas, and it was before today's game, but San Francisco on the sixth line before they lost to Loyola Chicago today.
And part of that is the record in a non-under-the-radar league, right, Joby?
Yes.
Okay.
And let me, I'll quickly just tell you in the next few seconds where they are now. given their loss. They would have fallen. They would have only fallen to the 8 line.
Right, well, let's drop San Francisco off of here for now. Then tentatively drop them onto the top of the 8 line, even just so we don't forget about them later on. Your next team up on the JNG would have actually been West Virginia, though, not yet Illinois.
Oh my God! I thought I had.
I'll go to you first.
Well, okay, I didn't have West Virginia quite this high, but I had them 25th, so I was a little surprised that they liked them this much. I love that line. The only thing, I had Seton Hall 24, West Virginia 25. I'm not that big on Texas, and if you pull them up and you've been paying attention to me at all for the last several years, you know that I just can't stand this type of profile. There's Texas right there. They've done, you know, they've beaten a so-so team at home, and that's about it.
I don't know that that's a bad profile at this point.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it isn't worthy of, like, say we put them on the 9 line. Who would they have beaten on equal terms that's ahead of them?
West Virginia.
On equal terms? Well, okay. Yeah, they beat them at home. But I like this West Virginia team. I thought the win at UAB was worth a lot. They did beat Connecticut, although it was at home. That's a team that wins a lot. But one of the things, their road record 1-1, record away from – okay, I'll give Texas some credit for the West Virginia win, but I just – even though they have it, I like West Virginia a little more.
Well, let me go to Tytel. West Virginia, one team – that did not come up yet that we've already discussed is Illinois. Maybe should Illinois be somewhere on this line with those wins at Iowa and at Minnesota?
And you have to remember the loss at Marquette, I believe, was the last game of Kofi Coburn's suspension. So even though it was on the road to a team that's not in the field, it was only by 1 point without an All-American player. The Tier 2 loss is not helping. And obviously, if they'd beaten my Wildcats at home, they'd be seated several lines higher. I think David mentioned Seton Hall earlier. I would not give up on them. We're talking about to beat Texas, beat Rutgers, one at Michigan, who's having an underwhelming year, at Butler, underwhelming year, but three great losses, Ohio State, at Providence, Villanova, who are already in the field. So I'd give a little Seton Hall love up here, but West Virginia is good too.
I'm having a hard day. It's everybody's first time. I hit Illinois pretty high too. I kind of lost track of them as I was scratching things off my list, which is hard to do without any arms, by the way.
Okay, well, we've got to make some type of decision here.
Chad, can I throw one more team in the mix here?
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
We had, just to play devil's advocate, we had San Francisco at the bottom of that six seed. Mm-hmm. Well, where's Loyola?
Loyola, after tonight, joke, has moved up to the 7 line. Past San Francisco.
Okay. Loyola Chicago would have been on the 8 line. So, well, let me ask you this.
And they moved to 27th on the seed line after the win. Mm-hmm.
Xavier, Tennessee, Texas, West Virginia. Do we leave that alone or do we sub in one of these three Illinois Seton Hall Loyola teams here?
I honestly have all three Illinois Seton Hall and Loyola ahead of West Virginia.
Okay. Joby, would you agree with that also?
I like the Illinois call, to be very honest.
Let's go ahead.
I think, remember, Illinois had a nice win against Maryland. I know Maryland's been mediocre at best this year, but that is yet another win against that NIT, CIT type level that might boost Illinois' profile ever so slightly.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and drop Illinois here in on the 6th line? We'll drop on the 6th line, make West Virginia down to the top of the 7 line. Mm-hmm. We need a few more teams there. So going back down to the list here, Seton Hall would in fact be the next team. We have discussed them already. Beyond Seton Hall, also on the 7
line. Loyola Chicago is the next team on the new seed list.
Okay, so with that update, really thank you. We will put Loyola Chicago there. Beyond them is the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah.
Team we have not yet discussed here. Tytel, let me start with you. What do you think of those four teams there? And is Kentucky belong here?
The Wildcats absolutely do. 8-point loss to Duke, 4-point loss at Notre Dame, 5-point loss at LSU, all very quality losses. not a lot of meat on the bone on the other side of the resume, but they destroyed Carolina neutral site. They destroyed Missouri at home. They beat Ohio by almost 20 at home. So while the schedule has not given them a bunch of opportunities, when you beat the teams you should beat and have close losses to the teams you shouldn't, I think that has 7-8-ish range written all about it.
I'll tell you, look at the teams we've not yet mentioned. I don't even know if there's really an argument for very many other teams on these to move up here to the seventh line. I think we just kind of hit the wall here at the at number 28 of every good team in the nation. But is there, Griggs, is there anybody we're missing significantly at this point, in your opinion?
Some that are close. I had both of these behind Kentucky, but I think they're at least worth a look because of where they kind of top out. Marquette and Creighton. Yeah.
Okay. Let me throw them up here under consideration so we could see Marquette on the GNG. JNG would be 53, which means they did not even make the field on the JNG.
Right. They're playing in.
Oh, I'm sorry. They are the last team in on the JNG on the field. And Creighton would have been a 10 seed, on the, 9 or a 10 seed on the JNG.
Okay. You kind of need to look at the team sheets. And since we're throwing teams under consideration, I actually like Iona even more than Loyola Chicago.
Right. Well, we'll get to Iona in a second here, I think. Yeah. But let's, first of all, Griggs, you got to sell me on a 9-6 team at this point in the season. I understand discussing them as a first four team. I don't understand discussing them as a wearing away in the first round seed.
Xavier and Wisconsin, I don't think – well, okay, Wisconsin has the one home loss to Providence. I don't believe Xavier has lost at home. UConn and UCLA are protected seeds. The only one that really has you holding your nose is St. Bonaventure. When you're talking about playing and losing the protected seeds, that doesn't necessarily mean you don't belong on the eight line.
I think you got to win more games against West Virginia
on a neutral floor. What's that?
I think you got to win more games. You got to be better than 9-6 at this point in the season to be up.
Well, when you've played that many teams that are protected seeds, I kind of think that it's more or less, to me, that's no different. I dismiss that the same way as I dismiss wins against home bye games against sub 200 teams. I mean, they have the win against Illinois. They have a neutral floor win against West Virginia. And like of those losses, I'm not saying that they belong on the floor line. I'm saying that like they should lose those games if they're an eight seed and they're playing protected seeds.
Well, let's real quick here. Dorman, does Creighton belong under consideration here? Because Griggs is not going to sell me on Marquette. I don't know if he's going to sell anybody on Marquette this early.
I do have Creighton under consideration here. I would also toss in Iowa and Oklahoma.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Why don't we just take a look at the next few teams here? No, I can't because we can't type things correctly.
So Chad's against playing a solid schedule. He's impressed by home.
I'm not impressed by 9-6. And a 58 net.
You said you hit a wall. If you look at the raw numbers of the JNG, just the raw numbers, not the rankings, there is a gap. But there is one more team that is listed before the gap occurs. And it has not been said yet. And that's the next team up, the Minnesota Gophers.
I really like this Minnesota team.
Not only Minnesota the next team up, but I think the next two are going to surprise people here. Next up, according to the JNG, is TCU, filed by Iona.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I like that.
Tytel, let me ask you. I like the Minnesota. I like the San Francisco here personally, but TCU?
No, if you need a Big 12 team from Texas, let's get the Red Raiders in there. Losing to Gonzaga and Phoenix, 4-point loss at Providence, 4-point loss at Iowa State. And they've been down not one, but two of their starters this year, Terrence Shannon and Kevin McCullough, due to illness or injury. So when you're losing to good teams without your best players, all of whom are already on the board, I think that you can easily make a case for them to be ahead of teams like Iona and TCU. For God's sakes, like they beat Tennessee at a neutral site. Like, give them a little credit.
That sounds awful lot like the case I just made for Marquette. I don't know what Chad has against Matt, but
Marquette on the left here. Let's put Texas Tech up on the right here to compare a a team that is worthy of consideration at this point and one that isn't. Let's see, 10-3 versus 9-6. Let's see.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Let's see. See, no yeah, tier two, three, lo- no tier two loss. No tier two loss. No tier three.
And two injured players.
Texas Tech has mopped the floor with everybody below 300. I will give them that.
Dorman.
I'm with David on this. When you look at Texas Tech, if Marquette would have played Grambling, Prairie View, Lamar, Incarnate Word, and Omaha, they'd have more wins too. But they played a tougher schedule.
I can't forgive these two losses. I can't forgive those two losses.
Texas Tech did beat Arkansas State, which is your St. Bonnie's equivalent, you know.
Okay. All right.
I'll tell you, Joby, how about that? Remove TCU here, put Texas Tech in place.
Yeah, and the reason TCU's there is TCU has the gaudy record. They only have one loss. It's to Santa Clara. But they only have one loss, and they do have, and little sneak preview, they do have one tournament win. Most people might not realize it's a tournament win, but they do.
They have more sub-300 wins than anyone we're going to put in this field.
Well, I don't know that we're going to put TCU in this field or not. That's not yet been decided because we just pushed them down some. But TCU does have a win over Nichols State. So,
yeah, but like Texas Tech has 8 wins against sub-300 teams.
I'll tell you what. Does anybody think TCU even belongs in the 9 seed? I think I'm just going to hold off on them, just drop them down to maybe the 10 line here until we discuss them later. But let me pull up the
TCU finishes 34-1, they're going to be a lot higher than what we're talking.
Let me pull up the next.
Of course, that'll mean a sweep of Baylor, but you know.
The JNG would have on the 9 line BYU, who we've not yet discussed, Oklahoma, who we did discuss briefly, Davidson, the A-10 leader, and Iowa, who we also briefly discussed. So no Marquette, no Creighton yet. I think that maybe Tytel, is there a case that Marquette or more likely Creighton belongs in over one of these four?
More likely Creighton. And I mean, if the numbers say Iona's that good, so be it. And I understand like beating Alabama counts for a lot and losing to Kansas and Belmont isn't that bad. But like, are you honestly telling me that they're one of the top 32 teams in the country?
I think they are.
We didn't really, Iona. Joby, your ratings have them that high. Does Iona, with just off of the win over Alabama, really belong?
And Patel's hitting why. It's a win over Alabama, and the losses are, you know, pretty solid losses, you know, that you're not of teams in the field or in Kansas' case on the one line. So you understand why the numbers spit there, but Iona's on a threat. If Iona loses to one of the teams not, you know, in the tournament, in the at-large field level, then all of a sudden we're going to think very differently of them. If you're going strictly off resume, I totally get and agree with where Iona is. But if we're going with the other elements that Tytel correctly points to, yeah, Iona is not as good as Creighton. You know, I really don't think they are.
They got a much better resume than Texas Tech.
They have a better resume right now.
Should we move everybody up one spot here, bring Creighton into the 9 line also, and drop Iona down to the 10 line? Is that kind of where you're going, Tytel?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Davidson, I'm just going to point out, Davidson has the same beneficiaries that TCU and Iona do right now. I think Iona should be ahead of Davidson, without a doubt.
Okay, so, well, this would have been, let's go put Creighton in here. We'll put Iowa in here. I'll leave Davidson down here in the 10 line also. Is there somebody else maybe that we're overlooking? Or should be Iona, TCU, Davidson on the 9 line is basically the debate. Or should we go somewhere else? Dorman, do you have thoughts on this?
I would move. I like this Iona team. I think they're talented. I have Iona on the 9 line right under Iowa there on the 36th overall slot. Yeah.
Maybe that's the way we do. We just drop them, slide them into the very bottom of the 9 line, yeah, as opposed to dropping them to the 10 line, which would push Davidson and TCU down. We have not yet put that Marquette team in, but why don't we just go ahead and show the next few teams here according to the JNG would have been TCU and Davidson, which so again, have to see where the TCU belongs in at this point. Beyond them, Tytel, I know you love your under the radar schools. Both Belmont and Murray State finish out the 10 line.
Both have solid resumes. I mean, like, I get it, and I would have them at the 11, but I think that jumping them up one is fine. I want to put in a power conference school like Florida or North Carolina, but I look at their resumes and, like, I don't know if, because it's like, I think Creighton would beat Iona, like Joby was saying. I don't know if Florida would beat Murray State. I don't know if North Carolina would beat Belmont.
Yeah.
Griggs, would you go with this line then? TCU, Davidson, Belmont, Murray State? Is TCU in at this point?
In my opinion, no, but let me look at them again, because that is, I mean, the J&G, and I realize it's early in the year, the data is scattershot. I don't, maybe that there's a reason. Have I just caught them on the wrong nights? I mean, I've watched them play. I just don't see a whole lot there to be excited about. Quite frankly, I think everybody on the 10 line would beat them that we have so far, and maybe a couple teams that we haven't even put in yet.
Did you think should TCU maybe move down to the 11 line then for the time being?
For the time being, yeah. I did not have TCU in my field.
Let's hold.
And I had Texas Tech like about right here.
Let's hold off on TCU again here for a moment then. What happened? We lost something. Let's just do this, the type of name. Davidson, Belmont, Murray. If we held off on TCU, Joby, would you go just to your next J&G team, which, by the way, is Wyoming, or would you go somewhere else?
Once again, the strong record comes in. No, you go somewhere else, and I think this is where you start talking about, you know, and this is an eye test thing, but they're not far off from this spot, and that's North Carolina.
Yeah, how about that, Dorman? North Carolina, 10 seed.
Yes, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm good with it. It's right where I had them. You could throw Indiana in this mix. I think they're right around North Carolina, TCU, right around this area. Tough. These are real tough calls. They're all right there. But like I said last night on Under the Radar, I firmly believe Belmont and Murray State belong in before these teams that are about to be put in, Carolina, TCU, Indiana, Florida. So I think we have a good job here.
Okay. This is where
still
I think
have more kit.
I think this is where we're all, I think the J&G may start to fall apart out here, unfortunately, Joby, a little bit as we get towards the bubble, especially on this line here. Because technically, again, TCU would be the next team, followed by Wyoming, followed by San Diego State, which I think is kind of surprised nobody's mentioned them yet. And technically, according to the J&G at the moment, the Wagner Seahawks will be next. I'm going to go ahead and veto that myself. Drop them down.
Wagner had a nice win in overtime tonight.
Drop them down, you know, quite a ways for now, probably down to the top of the 13 line. Let's just throw them way.
At best.
Way over there.
Because you're below UAB and New Mexico State, and those guys are actually pretty good, in my opinion.
But how about St. Mary's instead, which will be the next team below them? And Joby, TCU, Wyoming, San Diego State, St. Mary's is a real four teams here. And again, do we keep jumping TCU down more lines, and does Wyoming really belong in this field? I think maybe the bigger questions here.
I think the what's behind the next door will actually show why TCU, we've probably dropped TCU. I'm even fine with TCU falling below St. Mary's and San Diego State, but I think that's about where you stop on the free fall that we've done. Wyoming's different. Wyoming's definitely built on their record. One more loss, they're in trouble. But you know what? The Mountain West isn't that bad, so they'll get their opportunities. And so we'll see how they play out. But yeah, they're up here because – you know, the fact is They only have a loss to Arizona, which is, you know, very high protected seed. And then a loss to Stanford. That's not so great, but an overall record, that's good.
Chad, pull up Marquette right now.
Griggs, you will win me over on Marquette over Wyoming easily. I'm not going to fight you on that.
The teams that we are looking at.
It's now time to discuss Marquette. I agree with you.
I mean, the teams that we have put in ahead of them, it's ridiculous. Okay.
Tytel, what if we pull Wyoming out of here, replace it with Marquette, and make that that this line here.
If you're counting games that ended before our show, I would put it on Indiana actually over Marquette, just because they have three losses all season by a combined 10 points to Syracuse, Wisconsin, and Penn State all away from home. And they just beat a three seed in our bracket by 16 points.
Okay. So would you go TCU, Indiana, San Diego State, St. Mary's? Is that how you do it?
Love it.
Okay. Which would drop Marquette down to our 12 line, obviously. We did get Indiana in. Actually, Florida, the only team we've discussed that did not come in. Dormer, before I move on to the 12 line, is there anybody else that we should be discussing here that we have not yet discussed?
No, the teams that I had right on the line were all discussed. I did have Wyoming right in this mix right here, again, ahead of TCU. But the only team I would throw in there right now is Wyoming.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, if Wyoming would once again be the next team up on the J&G, because we have not yet put them in and they were in already. If we want to go by the J&G, there's a couple more surprises here. The next team up would be Texas A&M. Joby, did I read that right?
Yeah, and then Monmouth. And then, remember, gives TCU a tournament win. By transitive property, that gives TCU a tournament win.
I'll fill out the 12. Actually, that will fill out all of our at-large bids there, Miami being the last of the at-large bids. That would complete all the at-large bids with Marquette,
actually,
Wyoming.
Good, Mom.
Yeah, with Marquette, sorry, with Wyoming, A&M, Monmouth being the second Metro Atlantic team, and Miami being the first four. So the question is, are those really the first four teams at the moment, or are we missing somebody glaring, such as, Florida?
Florida's kind of glaring.
I mean, I'm 100% fine with a Florida for a Wyoming trade.
I'm actually a little surprised Wake didn't make our field.
Yeah,
Have been the very next team up, actually, according to the J&G. The first team out would have been Wake. The Florida would have been the first team out. Wake would have been the second team out. I'm sorry. And just for reference here, the next two teams out, according to the J&G, beyond that were UCF and Abilene Christian. As New Mexico State actually would have been rated ahead of them, they'd be the final spot in the 50 there as the WAC champions.
Abilene Christian, pretty good. I don't know if they're all the way inside the bubble. I've got two that I don't know if I want them in the field. I do like them better than some of the teams we've put in. Their resumes are a little soft, but what about UAB, especially having just won at North Texas and Ohio U? I think these are just really good teams.
Well, I'll tell you what. They're both on the 13 line though, as automatic bid winners at the moment.
Okay. So, where did you have them in the J&G?
And
on the 13 line.
Drew, when you're the automatic bid winner from one of these conferences, when I'm doing a seed list, is the play-in games, if you're splitting the play-in games, all the play-in game guys get to be in front of you, because hypothetically they've played themselves in and you are maybe at large worthy, but we've just seen over the years, that's where the break comes. New Mexico State, Ohio, Chattanooga, who you didn't mention, and UAB, all split play-in game folks. That's why they comprise the 13 line. The last of the 12, because we're, move Wagner down. And the 13 line.
Okay, so what you're saying is that in the J&G ranking, not your seed list, but the ranking, they're sort of like sandwiched in between the first four teams.
Yeah, you'll see New Mexico State 47. Miami is the last team in at 52. When Chad fills it out, you'll see it.
Let's circle back to the last four teams in here. Tytel, we came up with, according to J&G, Wyoming, A&M, Monmouth, Miami. The next teams up, according to J&G, would have been teams like Florida, Wake Forest, UCF, Abilene. Listed a few more there. Louisville, VCU, SMU, Vanderbilt, Virginia. Not even fitting on the screen, Virginia Tech, Michigan, or Mississippi State. Did we get them right? Do you think the J&G got them right, or do you think you'd want to make some moves here?
I would actually like to sub in Mississippi State. Their best rebounder and second best scorer, Tolu Smith, has played exactly five games all season. With him, they've beaten teams like Richmond and Arkansas by double digits. Without him, they've lost. I think that this is a case where you have to not just look at the metrics and the numbers and the stats, but look at who's on the court. And when you're one of your best players is not on the court, they almost beat Colorado State, which nobody else has done all year at a neutral site.
Well, Dorman, what about that? Maybe Mississippi State belongs in this field.
Tytel makes a great point. And actually, Mississippi State had Colorado State in that game. They basically gave it away. It's tight. I do like Mississippi State. I think that injury will come in. There'll be a lot of discussion in that selection room over the injury and how much, you know. But if they start, if they play strong in this SEC, which is, like we've said all year, loaded, and they pick up some strong SEC wins, yes, they will be in the field.
Yeah, right now, until that happens, I don't think we should put them in.
Well, yeah,
their weakness is they don't have a even close to, because Arkansas is not near the bubble right as of this moment. They don't have a even close to tournament level. Arkansas maybe NIT even there, but they're like eighth seed NIT. Well, but yeah, they will get their opportunities. All they have to do is start winning against the schedule that's in front of them. They don't panic if you're a Mississippi State Bulldog and being out right now, because you will get your opportunities with a full squad, and they will get the bonus off that.
Yeah, Tytel, I want to go back to you, though. If you want to put Mississippi State or one of these other teams in, which of these four or all of these four would you take out between Wyoming, A&M, Monmouth, Miami? I think your answer is going to be Monmouth.
No one gives, I would take out the team with the worst strength of schedule.
That would be Texas A&M.
Yes, it would.
Okay, and there is actually Mississippi State and Texas A&M on the screen here. Dorman, what do you think? Is that the move? Take out A&M, put in Mississippi State?
Oh, it's tight. I probably have A&M in over Mississippi State today because of the Tier 2 wins. In Mississippi State yet to have any wins over the Tier 1 or 2. So just based on A&M's couple of wins in the Tier 2, I have them slightly ahead. But I do like Tytel's schedule of strength point there. When it's this tight and you played a very weak schedule, I lean to Tytel's way.
Joby, though, maybe Florida's, maybe we just take leave both those out and put Florida in if we're going to go with an SEC team. They did beat Ohio State. They did something.
So tight. Yes, at least they did something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Florida's exactly. Florida at least, you know, at least has that really nice Ohio State win. But I want to stress, guys, Florida State stinks. So I don't want to hear an argument Florida's so good because they beat Florida State. Florida State, did you see the game? I mean,
yes.
Wake deserves it more than Florida because yes, Wake beat Florida State by 40, and Florida State didn't beat them by Florida didn't win by 40.
I've been, you know? I gotta say this. I've been banging Monmouth's drum all year, and now I'm kind of wanting to pull back on him. And I know this is sacrilege being an under the radar guy. I kind of like Wake more than Monmouth.
Okay, so let's do that here. Let's take this basically our final decision we got to make here is between Monmouth Rick's, and Wake
Forest. Is under the radar.
Well, fair enough. Okay, yeah.
Would you take a team that won at Virginia Tech and beat Northwestern at home over a team that won, that has seven true road wins?
That's a lot of
out of the
wins.
Metro Atlantic.
That is a lot of road wins.
That's a pretty horrible non-conference strength of schedule for Wake. But when your best win is at Towson by eight, I don't know that I can say you're better than Wake.
They did beat Princeton, though.
Who hasn't?
I thought I'd get some Monmouth love there. Dorman, you want to make a decision here, Wake or Monmouth?
And part of it is just that, Dorman, but the loss. I mean, had they just held on to beat Charlotte?
I have Wake ahead of Monmouth.
Wake. And Joby, you agree with that, Wake?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. We'll put Wake Forest in here. We'll drop Monmouth back down to the under consideration, just missing the field. They could be a one seed in the NIT.
And that way, with Wake in, we have three ACC teams, not two.
No, Miami's in two, so we have four.
That's right. Miami snuck in. North Carolina, wow. What an ugly, ugly conference.
Real quick, I just put the rest of the teams up there. Wagner, as we mentioned, the top dropped to the top of the 13 line, Ohio, Chattanooga, UAB, three teams that Griggs mentioned earlier as potentially being able to get up into that at-large decision. Below them, according to the JNG, Oakland, Navy, South Dakota State, Towson, Princeton, UC Irvine, South Alabama, Vermont, Liberty, Weber State, Corpus Christi, Asheville, Norfolk State, and Southern. Again, these are each the highest rated JNG team in the conference, not necessarily the conference leader. So it may differ from some other projections you see out there right now. On that note, though, I'll leave this up here. I want to run through each of you for any other final thoughts on what we did or anything else tonight, now that we have a field of 68 that will be bracketed down below us. Joby, why don't I start with you?
Well, thanks for being patient to all our folks out there. You've definitely see that things need to play themselves out, particularly as it regards to records. Hey, you know, if TCU winds up with, you know, only one or two losses playing that Big 12 schedule, we're not talking whether we should drop them down to the 11 side line, but hey, make a spot for them on the one line. That's not likely going to happen. It'll be really interesting to see how things play out as the time goes on.
Absolutely. Tytel.
I think we did a good job. Congrats to Joby for getting the JNG out there as a good measuring stick for us. I think it'll be interesting to see, because there's been so many teams on a COVID pause, and it looks like, for the most part, fingers crossed, we're trending the right way with UCLA back on the court and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see all the movement that will happen in the weeks ahead, not even months ahead, just weeks ahead, when you get these teams back on the court playing. It seems like almost every other night, because they have to make up so many postponed games.
It's November all year long.
We are seeing teams play back-to-back nights, which is, you know, yeah. In January and February. You don't never seen that before. I don't
never. Know. Only in November.
Long Beach State did play the last 2 days. But Dorman.
For the sake of just this point here, I'm going to move New Mexico State on the 50 overall to where Wagner is. So that would make the 13 seeds New Mexico State, Ohio, Chattanooga, and UAB. The four seeds better be ready, because those teams can all win a game, and they might all be, and some of them might win too. That is a very strong group of 13 seeds. And it's great to be talking about the brackets and teams instead of COVID and missing games tonight.
I agree with that completely. Griggs, you want to finish us out?
Yeah. It's one of the things, and there's going to be a lot of movement between now and the end of the year. It's like, why do we start doing this so early, Mike? And Ryan's response to that is like, well, why not? We could start doing it in November for all I care. But, you know, my biggest dissent was Marquette. But the good news is that they will have the opportunity for it to play out. At the end of the year, they'll either win the big games and shoot up the seed list, or they won't, and they'll end up where they are. So pretty much every team, unless they're from an under-the-radar conference, if they don't like where they are, we'll have a chance to get to where they want to be or where they should be. And if they're overseeded, then they'll fall off. It's just kind of interesting because Belmont, Murray, they're essentially their path to staying inside the bubble. And I guess Iona too, is that they can't really lose to anyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than each other, and but if we're saying Belmont and Murray are 10 seeds right now, I think there is room for another loss, maybe one more loss, but one other
maybe
loss.
One more, yeah. And it, well, the OVC is terrible. I mean, outside of those two, it better not be to anyone other than each other.
And I gotta say, I was impressed that we had two OVC teams in here. We almost had two Metro Atlantic teams in here. We ended up with the four West Coast Conference teams in here. We actually ended up with, was it three Mountain West teams? We got Wyoming in there. I was kind of surprised about, you know, it's not until you start actually doing these that you realize how bad the teams down at the end of the bubble are. You know, if you had told me a week ago, you know, or just a couple of days ago before I started looking at this stuff, oh yeah, Wyoming is going to make your field, I would have laughed at you. But there they are, and I don't think we were wrong at this point by putting them in. We might be in another week when they lose a few more games, but yeah.
And what helps Wyoming, we didn't mention, is that Grand Canyon and Utah Valley are much better under the radar-ish, I'll say ish, teams out of the WAC than your normal viewer is going to know. These are two teams that are NIT level. Not yeah. high NIT level, but NIT level. And so that gives you, you know, you, maybe if they, if those teams start losing in the WAC, that by relationship will kill Wyoming if Wyoming doesn't pick up the necessary wins in the Mountain West that they need to do.
But Utah State, another team that could start to climb the list here a little bit.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. we're out of time. So I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of John Tytel and David Griggs up here, Joby Fortson and David Dorman below me.
Carver I'm Bible Sherwood. College.
You can go down, where's lower Carver? Down. You can go lower down below us now. Check out the final bracket. See who each of these teams matched up with. But thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with more podcasts, and we'll be talking to you again real soon.